message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
I told you last week, I said in this four-part teaching, what we'll be doing is I'll be sharing with you common faith features in two individuals that we have accepted as models in the school of faith in scriptures. And I told you modeling is a biblical concept, because it's a slant of a kind of way of imitating excellence in the life of someone considered to be a standard. So modeling is a biblical concept. Can I have a big amen to that? Because, you know, the Bible makes us to understand that all scriptures are given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, that means for teaching. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and it is an instruction manual for the God life. Can I have a big amen to that? So, and I told you last week when I began to tell you something about inductive reasoning in psychology. Inductive reasoning. And so, inductive reasoning in psychology, what they mean by that is a logical thinking process in which multiple premises that are believed to be true are combined to draw a conclusion. That means, I give you a very practical example. Let's say you have 100 most successful people in business. Maybe you are into one business or the other. Then you now write out 100 most successful people in that particular line of business, LOB. Now, inductive reasoning will do this. It will try to drag out, to comb out or rake out their to-do list, their activities, the things they do every day that has culminated into the success they have become. Now, inductive reasoning will now say, okay, amongst all the things that they are doing, there are some things that is common to the 100 people. Now, inductive reasoning will say, okay, so now I will rake out those common things these 100 people do that make them or have been responsible for their success. If I incorporate it into my own life, I'm likely going to yield the same result. Is that simple enough? There are other several principles, like we have the 100 hour principles. Scientists have found out that every successful person in any area of life, they have fulfilled the 100 hour principles. I mean, the 10,000 hours principle, forgive me, 10,000 hours principle. That means if you are a tailor, for example, and you want to be a standard stylist, talking about standard stylist, fashion designing, all right? You want to be brushing shoulder with the likes of Bilvigari, the likes of, Dolce and Gabbana, what do you call them, all right? They've all paid their dues. They call it 10,000 hour rules. That means they have done that sewing for 10,000 hours. And when I calculated it last time, it was like 5 hours every day for 10 years. Now, Charles Spurgeon, for example, they call him Prince of Preacher. The guy preached, I can't remember now, I think he preached, a lady friend of mine in the U.S., she and I were just talking on Facebook, on a video call, no, on a WhatsApp call, you know, and then she was telling me that, did you know that? She was telling me that, Elijah, do you know that I calculated that? And that means this man, Charles Spurgeon, I think he preached like 6,000 messages. I mean, 60,000 messages. I can't remember the number she mentioned. So that means this man, you know, he was preaching like 5 hours every day. And I remember that, I've read it somewhere about 10,000 hour rules. So these are examples of what we mean by inductive reasoning. So that means now, when it comes to the faith message in scripture, we want to comb out two outstanding individuals. And then we want to see, okay, what was peculiar about all the things they were doing? Can we incorporate these things they were doing into our lives and yield the same result? Emphatically, yes. You see, there is something about Christianity. And that's why I said modeling is a biblical concept. For instance, in Ephesians 5 verse 1, you will see where the Bible says, as dear children of God, we should be imitators of God. We should be models of God. We should model after Him. Something beautiful about Christianity is that Christianity is a faith of definite instruction. There is nothing mysterious about Christianity. That means in the Word of God, you're going to find instructions. You see, that means, for example, a very perfect example I normally use is salvation. As spiritual as salvation is, as miraculous as salvation is, in fact, salvation is the greatest miracle, yet you can make it happen every day. How? By engaging the laid down principles of making it happen. Romans 10 verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, how shall they call upon whom in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe except they hear? How shall they hear except there be a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? So when you now converse it, you begin, I've been sent. Because Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now I preach. As I preach, they hear. As they hear, they believe. Come on, talk to me. As they believe, they call. And as they call, they are saved. Can you see the process there? It's a miracle, and yet you can make it happen every day. So the Word of God is an instruction manual. There is nothing mystical about the Word of God. There is nothing mystical in Christianity. No mystery anywhere. So the same thing applies. If we see two people that we are combing out in this series to have stood out in the life of faith that they lived, then what can we learn from them? We're looking at Papa AB and Jesus. Papa AB, Abraham. Praise the Lord. Open to Isaiah 51 quickly. Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51 and verse 1. The Bible says, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Are there people who follow after righteousness here? He says, hearken unto me, ye which follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock where ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and I blessed him, and I increased him. So he said, look unto Abraham. In other words, copy him. So we're looking at two prototypes here. Papa AB and Jesus. In 2 Peter chapter number 2 verse 21, the Bible says, for even ye unto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. That we should follow his steps. Of course, he's talking about humility in context, but that gives us an idea that Jesus is an example for us to follow. So that's why we're looking at these two models. You see, the Bible tells us, it says in the book of Romans 15 verse 4, it says, whatsoever things were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, that we through comfort of scriptures might have hope. They were written for our learning. So we can learn. We can combat some of these things they do that made their faith life outstanding. Listen, the faith life is a life that the believer must live. You are saved by grace through faith. You stand in grace by faith. Everything about you, you're going to live a faith life as a believer. It's a faith life. Praise God forevermore. And last week, I began by sharing with you what faith is not. So if you were not here last week, do well to get the tape. We mentioned that faith is not denying physical evidences. Faith is not mental assent. Faith is not being lazy. Faith is not a rescue alternative. And I defined to you what faith was last week. I said faith is simply what? Acting on the word. Acting on the word. Hebrews 11 verse 1. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. The elders, they obtained a good report by faith. Verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, the visible were made out of invisible. We know so through faith. Faith gives us an understanding that the visible world we see today were made out of something naturally invisible. And then I told you last week, I said faith can be best understood by calling it a walk. Somebody say walk. Say it again. Say it louder. W-A-L-K. Walk. So faith is a walk. And a walk simply means series of steps with destination in view. That's a walk. Series of steps with destination in view. For instance, when you alighted from the vehicle that brought you to church today, or the motorcycle, or whatever, if your house were closed, you had to make some steps, isn't it? Come on, talk to me, isn't it? But did you have in mind a destination? Come on, talk to me. That's what makes it a walk. So a walk is a series of steps with destination, with an end in view. With an end in view. So now, in Abraham's walk of faith, there is one powerful thing I want you to know about Abraham. Like I told you, I spoke to you about inductive reasoning in psychology. Is there something about Abraham we can copy and incorporate into our life to yield the same result? Emphatically, yes. Number one is this. When you study the life of Abraham and his faith walk, you will conclude that, number one, faith begins with a word from God. Somebody say, a word from God. I didn't hear you louder. Say it as louder as much as you can. It looks like it's only the ladies talking. Now, only guys alone. Now, ladies, please be quiet. Say, a word from God. What's that? There's no, I can't feel any vibe. Louder. 3, 2, go. So, everybody all together, the ladies and the guys, 3, 2, go. Faith begins with a word from God. Oh boy. Listen, this is so fundamental in your walk of faith. Very fundamental. Open to Genesis 12 quickly. Let us look at Abraham. Let's just do a quick walk on this. Oosh, time is fast spent. Genesis 12 and verse 1. Genesis 12 and verse 1. The Bible says, now the Lord had said unto Abraham. At this time, his name has not changed from Abram to Abraham. Abraham means assumed father, exalted father, imaginary father. There is power in names, though. And God changed his name to Abraham, father of many nations. Sarai. Sarai means maybe a struggler or somebody who is struggling, something like that. And it was changed to Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, which means the daughter of a king, a princess. Oh boy, I'm going to give my daughter his princess as a name. Glory to God. Amen. Beautiful names like princess, queen, Natasha, you know, stuff like that. Okay, let's go. Genesis 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. Now, God said, somebody say, God said. God said. Say it louder. God said. Oh, I remember that day God spoke to me. He said, son, I know you have plans. Get up, pick your bag, and be going to Abuja. I said, I don't know nobody in this place. He says, go. When I took my spiritual father, he said, I knew. So I was still praying until in the conference, my spiritual grandfather, in that sense, gave a prophetic quote in that line. And that was how. So, faith begins with a word from the Lord. God said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. So, that word comes with a promise. He says, I will make thee a great nation and I will bless thee and make thy name great and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse those that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 4, the next thing we saw was this. And Abraham departed. Somebody say, Abraham departed. No wasting of time. He acted on the word. This is faith. And Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abraham was 17 and 5 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. Listen to me. A word from the Lord is all you need for a prosperous walk of faith. You need a word from the Lord. A word from the Lord. Listen, there is a general word of God, black and white in scripture. But when it comes to specific word of God to you, you have to ascertain that in the place of prayer. You have to, for example, God might have called you to serve, maybe in the ministry, okay? But you can't serve in all ministries, okay? So you have to ascertain that in the place of prayer. For instance, when it comes to relationship, all right, the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. True? True? So there's no debate about praying over an unbeliever toasting you. That's a waste of time. But you can't marry every believer, right?
Yes, sir.
Can you marry every believer? Of course, you can't even because you're already in a relationship. So, amen. So, Tokbe, Jemima, sorry if I'm mentioning your name, Grace, Amy, they are all wonderful ladies. They all are God's children. But hey, we don't do polygamy in Christianity. You can marry all the sisters. So you have to ascertain that in the place of prayer. So a word from the Lord is what sparks out faith. Listen, all you need to begin a walk of faith is a word from the Lord. God said it to me. God said it to me. I'm going to hold on to it. And I'm going to keep walking by it. He told me to move to Kefi. I'm in Kefi now. I refuse to be distracted by natural things I could have accrued had I gone otherwise. If God gave me a word, I'm going to hold on to it. But for me to have a successful faith walk, I must first receive a word. I must not assume. I must receive a word. So in the place of prayer, I pray. And I got a word. So faith begins with a word from the Lord. We saw that in the life of Abraham. Isaiah 55 verse 10 says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. You see, let me tell you, even if contrary winds comes, the word of God that you have received from the Lord is what sustains you. The stakes may be high, but you're going to look beyond it. Can you see that? You know, we saw an incident in the book of Numbers 23 where a wicked man actually went to hire a prophet to curse the children of Israel, to invoke a curse on them. And then you see, the Bible says in that Numbers 23 verse 19, the Bible told us, it says, in fact, if you read verse 23, it says, surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel what God had wrought. That means it will only be to Israel according to that which God has spoken. So nobody saying anything concerning them that can gain traction because God has spoken. And God does not change. Because the previous verse, he says, God is not a man, verse 19, that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he spoken? Shall he not make it good? Then in verse 21, he says, God has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord is God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Can you shout amen, somebody? Amen. So the wind may blow, mountains may rise. But you see, once you have a word from the Lord, like Abraham, you are not the one trying to cook up something for yourself. You heard the word from the Lord. That's all you need. Because his word will not come back to him void. It will accomplish that which it was sent. Can I have a big amen to that?
Yes.
Let's look at Genesis 22. We are trying to look at Papa Habi. Genesis 22. I'm going to do a very long reading for you here. It's about 14 verses. Genesis 22. The Bible says, and it came to pass. Now pay attention. You know, Genesis 22. And verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Now pay attention to this. He says, God, here I am. Verse 3, 2, and he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac. Somebody said, thy only son Isaac. But was Isaac the only son Abraham had? But he says, thy only son. In the book of Hebrew, the writer of the Hebrew says, thy son whom thou loved. Why did God call Isaac thy only son? Because, listen, in the sight of God, anything gotten outside faith does not have reckoning with God. He gave birth to that other one out of senses. He went to, you know, he went in into the servant of his wife because he felt he was getting old. And you know one thing, God humbled Abraham. He made sure that Abraham got to a place where he knew that naturally he can't have babies before he made that promise come to pass. To prove a point to him that, listen, the word of God, listen, pay attention. The word of God is capable to produce what God says in your life. The Bible says, thy only son whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cleft the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Oh, shut Allah. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Ah, I'll talk about this next week. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there. Are you following? And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took his knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham! Abraham! And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. I can preach, only God knows, perhaps 2 months on this, but I'll just focus on what I want to show you today. Now, when you read this passage I read to you, Three things basically are going to come to your mind, especially if you've been attending this church for, let's say, a year, and you've been following our teachings, and you've not been listening to too many contradictory sources. Some things will come to your mind. Number one thing that will come to you is, hey, child sacrifice is profanity to God in the scripture. So why would God ask him to come and offer his child? For instance, in Deuteronomy 20 verse 30, the Bible says, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them. God is warning his people against the Gentile idol worshippers. Don't follow them, after that they be destroyed from before thee. And that thou inquire not their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. That thou not do unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hated, have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters, they are burnt in the fire to their gods. So God is saying, this land that you have come into, one of the reasons why we drove them out of this land and we are giving it to you is because they were, you know, I wish I had time to talk about this. They worship this god called the god of Molech. So that god of Molech, what it does is, it's a big image. It has a stretched forth hand like this. Theologians told us, all right. So it's made with metal. So, and fire is burning. There's a consistent fire in that hand. You know, it's a big image. So what they do is, when they give birth to a baby, they will now take the baby and put it in the hand of that image. So the fire will be burning the baby. So at the basal part of that image, they have drums. People that, some priests, you know, witchcraft priests, they'll be beating big drum. So as the child is crying, they'll be beating the drum to swallow up the crying of the baby. So they see it as a worship to God. They call the God, the name of the God, Molech. So gory. The child will be crying. Imagine burning a newborn baby alive as a sacrifice. So that was what they were doing. And God says, that's an abominable practice. Don't copy them. Now again, if you look at that same book of Deuteronomy 18 verse 9, the Bible told them when they were to enter into that promised land, it says, and when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. Now they hear, ba? All these people, when they talk, when they do, you say, I'm Sagittarius. I'm, which one again? I don't know. You say you are looking astronomy. On Facebook, say, what will happen to XYZ in 10 years? Juliet, we have 5 sons. Ooh, yeah, yeah. See, and those of you that do astrology, say you are looking at the sun, they are going to read your palm. You are wasting your time. The sun and the moon was created for time, for us to mark times. We don't worship creation. We don't speak to creation to talk to us. We don't do divination. Can I have a big amen to that? So that's just by the way. Sagittarius. Sagittarius call. You, Sagittarius, you. You. That you have the Holy Ghost in you. Sagimoimoini. Rubbish. So yeah, we see God is actually classifying child sacrifice as abomination. Again in Leviticus 18:21. The Bible says, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Can you see that now? Molech, that's the name of that god. Leviticus 18:21. Thou shalt not let any of your child pass through fire unto Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am thy Lord. So we know God faults child sacrifice. Another question that will come to your mind is this. If God has given a word of promise concerning this child, why would he now still ask him to offer the same child? Because he says in Isaac, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Can I have a big amen to that? Look at it. Genesis 21 verse 12. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman, in all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That means God is saying, and when you read the book of Galatians 3, that seed is whom? Jesus. Who is that seed? Jesus. So God is saying, in Isaac with Christ come, the Messiah will come through Isaac. God has given him a promise. So now, if he's now asking him to offer the same Isaac, what kind of God is that? God gave you a job. And now he's telling you to quit the job to focus on ministry as a pastor, a full-time pastor. So you are wondering, what kind of God is that? Well, the first thing I want you to know is this. I have realized in my walk of faith that anything that comes by faith is easier to live. You see, rich people are stingy. Do you know why? Because they work hard. So they felt it's their hard work that gave them money, so they are stingy. And that's how I begin a new teaching on favor. So, but if you walk in favor, in the last couple of weeks, I've received a good amount of money and I've given far, far amount of money. It was easy because I didn't lose nothing. Do you understand what I'm saying? When something comes by faith, you can give it out by faith. But people who labor and they trust in their labor, their hand is like this. So because if I give birth to a child at the age of 99, and that same God is asking me to give up that child, then that means it's not going to be a much of a debate. Because I didn't get that child in the first place in my effort. And then I will have an expectation. And that expectation will be an influence of the initial word God has spoken to me. And that's exactly what happened to Abraham. Look at it. Look at it. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews 11. Open to Hebrews 11, everybody. Hebrews 11. I want to show you something. Because if God told him that through Isaac will his seed come, why will he offer the same Isaac again? Look at it. In the book of Hebrews 11, 17. He says, by faith. Somebody say, by faith. By faith. Say it louder. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Is that true? This is the child of promise. So now, what gave Abraham that boldness, that effrontery to go on to offer Isaac? Look at verse 19. Can we all read verse 19 together, everybody? Verse 19. 3, 2, go. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him. Wow. Accounting. So listen, God did not promise Abraham that he was going to raise Isaac up. It was Isaac who accounted. So the word accounting there is from the Greek word logizomai. It means to conclude. To do a personal conclusion based on certain facts. Are you following what I'm saying? So Abraham felt, okay, God spoke to me. And I know that, that's why you have to know God. I know that God does not change. God gave me a word that through this Isaac will the seed will come from. And that same God is asking, and now I want to offer the same Isaac on Mount Moriah. Then it must mean that even if I offer him, God is capable of raising him back. Now that means, listen, in life, your conclusion will be a product of your initial conviction. So that means God could give you a word. Even if contrary wind blows, that notwithstanding, because you are convinced of the word of God spoken unto you, you are therefore going to conclude that it will turn out for your good eventually. Are you following what I'm saying? See, let me tell you, this is what we call faith. This is a simple faith. What a faith. Do you know that this is the same faith that the disciples do not have on their way to Emmaus? You know, they knew Jesus. The disciples knew Jesus that he was going to be the Messiah. He's been saying that I'm the Messiah, stuff like that. But when he was killed, their belief in him as the Messiah, you know, evaporated. Look at what they said. Look at what they said. Look, go there. Look at Luke. Let me show you. Look at Luke. Come on. Luke 24. Luke 24. Luke 24 verse 21. Look at what they said. It says, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. They were coming back on the way on their way to Emmaus, and then so they were feeling sad that Jesus has been killed. So Jesus appeared to them, but he withheld his appearance from them. He now said, why are you guys sad now? They say, who is this one? Are you a stranger in this land? Don't you know what happened last 3 days ago? How that Jesus, a man of God, the prophet, our master, how he was killed. Eh? And you are asking. Everybody knows about this thing. I say, tell me. That was Jesus, so, but he intentionally withheld. He didn't allow them to recognize him. They were coming from the sepulchre. They were angry. They were sad. He says, so why are you angry? Why are you guys feeling this way? He says, have you not heard of Jesus? Eh? In this verse 21, it says, but we trusted. Can you say that? We trusted. They're no longer trusting. They once trusted. Their faith don't. You know, there are some Christians that they can shout hallelujah, glory to God, our believer. When they get to their room and they open their cupboard and they see only one Indomie, their faith just deflates. So here, the disciple says, we trusted that it had been he we should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. This kind of faith that Abraham had was what they lack. You know, on Abraham's case, Abraham believed that through him will the seed come. And if I'm offering this same seed, since God has spoken to me that through this seed, through this Isaac will the seed come, if I offer him, if I slaughter him, I mean, I believe God will raise him back. Are you following? So now, if they have truly believed that Christ is the Messiah, that he was killed wouldn't have stopped them from still believing. Because, listen, no circumstances, I've read to you Isaiah 55 verse 11, so shall my word be. Nothing is capable of stopping the word of God. Nothing. Somebody say nothing. I say somebody say nothing. Guess what? Situations will arrange themselves to make God's word find expression. Could you believe? That's why Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 6, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So, little did they know that in killing Jesus was even a way of helping him fulfill why he came. Because his death was necessary for our redemption. So, situations notwithstanding, it can't stop the word of God in your life. Nothing can stop the word of God from happening. Nothing can withhold God's word from finding expression in your life. You have to have that conclusion. As long as, that's why faith begins with a word from the Lord. You got a word from the Lord and you stay with it. Whether it's working or it's not working, you stay with it because what? It will work. At the end, it will speak. You hold on to the word. You can go to bank on God's word. You're going to hold on to the word of God. If God said it, mine own is to believe it, and that settles it. I'm going to give up on the word of God. It's a bulldog kind of faith. I'm going to hold on to this thing. If God said it, nothing can stop the word of God. So this is a model lesson from Abraham. What is the model? That if God gives me a prophetic word, even if something contrary happens eventually, he still doesn't change anything. Rather, it will even further ensure that that which God has spoken comes to pass quickly. Joseph had a dream. He told his brothers, they want to execute him. They sold him. Guess what? All they did was moving him to his destiny. Nothing can be done against the truth, but for the truth. Somebody say the word of God. Say a word from God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Time is fast spent. You know, we are very careful now. We have decided that church must close, Bible study must always close 7:15. We must start 5:30 on the dot. 7:15 we close. Amen. I said amen. All right, so I have just 10 more minutes before. This is 10 minutes to 7. Amen. All right, so here's the message for today. I have so much, but I have to stop there. Here's the message for today. The Abraham kind of faith. You know, he says, look unto Abraham your father. A word from God. A word from God. If God gave me a word, I'm going to stand unto it. Jeremiah 1 verse 12 says, I will hasten my word to perform it. Listen, God's word is God to you. God and his word are one. So when God gives you his word, he is committed to make that word come to pass. Do you know why? His integrity is at stake. You don't know who God is. He is God. It's like, you know, even when people get into unbelief, it's because they don't know God. If let me ask you, if Bill Gates walks up to you now and says, Benita, I'm wiring, I'll transfer 1 million naira. Can you imagine? To your account tomorrow morning. And you gave him his account, your account number. Will you go to bed that day not sleeping and say, I pray he send the money? Will you be perturbed? Bill Gates? If you act that way, that means you don't know Bill Gates. But what if one mad man on the road walks up to you and says, hey! He shakes his body. How can you come along tomorrow? He said, nonsense. Get this one does not do anything. Now, why did you believe in the first one? Because, pay attention, a lot of Christians, they are receiving God's word apart from God. When you receive a word from God, receive that word with the backdrop of the God who gave that word. Consider that word in the light of the God who gave that word. Who gave me this word? God, then it is done. Are you following what I'm saying? So when God gives a word, his integrity is involved. If he doesn't make it to, see, that day he does not fulfill his word, his integrity crumbles. So God will make sure his word finds expression. All he requires from you is to believe. That's all. So if God has given me a word, and I receive that word, it makes no difference. It makes no difference what the situations may look like. It makes no difference what comes my way. That word will still come to pass. Very simple thing I want you to learn today. That we're talking about faith models. We can learn from Abraham here. That it makes no difference. Well, I don't know. I actually wanted to study law, but they gave me English. And my passion actually is that I want to be fighting for the cause of the privilege. That's why I wanted to study law. And I know God gave me that dream. I don't know. But these insult people, they just give me English. Listen, if you receive that word from the Lord to fight the cause of the unjust, of the just, to fight for the less privileged? Who told you that in studying English, you can't be so rich that you will employ lawyers? Who told you can't be so rich that you will employ lawyers and start, you know, an agency that will be reaching out to the less privileged? Who told you you can't? Look at politics today. How many of them study political science? Even your governor, Engineer A. Sule. Abi, is that not his name? Where's he go read engineering? Now he govern you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. For instance, I was just thinking, when I was praying for this tip, I was thinking, okay, all my life I wanted to be a medical doctor. Attached to what? Nigerian Army. My friends are captains in the Army. So I was just thinking this morning, I said, okay, think about it though. The church can get so big and we're going to start Cornerstone Hospital, free healthcare. Amen. Do you know what I'm saying? Listen, it doesn't change anything. You receive the word. No scheme of man. Nothing is able to thwart God's word for your life. Nothing. Believe it. It makes no difference. Whether you were born in a less privileged home, your family, you're not that rich, it makes no difference. It makes no difference where you came from. If you will hold on to the word of God, oh boy. God's word never fails. It never fails. So the model in Abraham is this. I will hold on to God's word, not minding whatever contrary circumstances that come my way. I will hold on to it nevertheless. I will hold on to it nevertheless. And situation and circumstances, they will arrange themselves to make that word come true in my life. Can I hear a big amen to that? Amen. I say, can I hear a big amen to that? Amen. So whatever case it is, we always win. Say, I always win.
I always win.
So your conclusion, so when you see a Christian who is murmuring, he has not reached, the word has not entered. You drink the gari, see, you drink the gari with pride. Clones here. I've told you this story before 2 years ago, right? When I was in the university, as a young boy, Obafemi Law University, I was in my year 3 then. So we had this strike that lasted for 10 months. I think 10 months, yeah. It was Obasanjo who was the president then. And I lived in Ibadan, but my school is in Ife. So, and I couldn't go home because my church members, not all of them were students. So how will it stand if I say, praise the Lord, everybody. Today is the last Sunday. I'm going for holiday. You know the way some of you do, any small thing. I'm going home. I want to go and eat chicken. As if you know it, something that you eat and it will come like this. And I'm seeing some of you, you are coconut fat, none. With all the 2 months, the school says you zoom on the 13, you added one extra month. Eh? Ruth, you not had any weight. All of you, Lord have mercy on you. All right, let me just round off. So this, I didn't go home. So my dad got angry that, what kind of child is this? If in case you don't know, Ibadan to Ife is like from here to Atabale. It's just like 35, 40 minutes drive. And for that 10 months, I didn't go home. So those 10 months, later on, my dad stopped sending money to me. He says, that gospel you are preaching, you will eat there. We can't be sending money. All your mates are back. Everybody in the compound, they are back to their parents. You say it's gospel. And guess what? Oh, I had some funny experiences. I remember those. I won't have anything in the room. I would dress up in the morning, wear my tie, carry my Bible. I'm going to preach, believing that, can I be free? Okay. I'll believe that I'll just go and preach and I'll meet somebody cooking or something. And they would say, come and eat. And guess what? When I get there, like, I remember I met some two PG ladies then. They were doing their postgraduate. So I came to preach. As I was preaching, they say, this, I blessed them so well. They say, man of God, we just prepared a nice, sumptuous meal. I said, no, don't worry. It's a lie. If I did not eat that food, I would sleep hungry that day. I said, okay, just fetch a little. Just. Amen for God. Amen. But here's the way I'm actually going to. Those times I could remember, all I had was a big Milo and Gary. That was all I had. A big Milo, this big one, and Gary. So I remember then, what I would do is, I'll go and buy kulikuli. For those following us on MixLR, kulikuli in Africa is a granite cake. As they make it like a cake, something like a cracker, granite cracker. All right, so I'll go and buy kulikuli. So when I was coming to school, I took a set of my mom's tea saucer. You know, saucer and tea. This saucer. So I came with it. So I will put the kulikuli on the saucer, and then I will fetch. And even me, I like young girl. I will put 10 spoons of Gary, then 5 spoons of my, it's Bombita, not Milo, forgive me. A big Bombita. I will fetch 5 spoons of it, and then kulikuli, I will break it, and I will pray. I will say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, as I eat this thing right now, let it go inside me and nourish me. Let it turn to chicken inside. I'm not joking. Guess what? 6 months afterwards, when students resumed, many of them started saying, Pastor, you look fresh. This holiday is sweet on you. I said, it's sweet on you. But it was Gary and kulikuli I was taking. No murmuring. Why? Let me tell you. The reason why you murmur, don't forget, Apostle Paul told the church in Corinth, he says, let us not murmur like them, which did murmur. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10 and verse 11. So, when you murmur, what you are saying is, you are concluding that even if you have received a word from the Lord prior, because of the circumstance around you, then God's word can't find expression in your life again. That's what you are saying. That's what you're saying. So, that means your conclusions about life will always be influenced by your convictions. Abraham's conviction about God's word concerning Isaac made him conclude that even if I offer him up as a sacrifice, God will raise him back. God will raise him back. Praise God forevermore. So in the work of faith in Abraham's life, what can we see? I'll just tell you four things in the work of faith. You write it down, then we close. Four things that summarizes the work of faith in this light. Don't forget, I said, number one is that faith work begins with a word from the Lord. Somebody say a word from the Lord. Somebody say a word from the Lord. So what do you do? Number one is acknowledge the word. I call it ABCD of faith. Somebody say ABCD of faith. Say it again. So that you won't forget it. Acknowledge the word. You know, God spoke to Abraham, get out of your father's house to a land where I will show you. He acknowledged it. He accepted it. Then number two is believe the word. I told you what faith is and what faith is not, right? Faith is not mental assent. And I gave you examples last week, so get last week's tape if you were not in church last week. Number three, confess the word. We're talking of ABC. A is acknowledge, B is believe the word, C is confess the word. Listen, if you don't confess the word, you are not doing yourself any good. Confession means, it's from the Greek word homologio. It means to speak in consonance with God. Hebrews 13 verse 5. He had said, so that we can boldly say, The word of God was not spoken and written so that you can read, like, nod your head like lizard. You cover it. No! You come across scriptures like Numbers 23 verse 19. God is not a man that should lie. Oh, God cannot lie to me. I believe his word. You read Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. You don't read Psalm. How do you read Psalm 23 and then you nod your head? How? You personalize it. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. He's my shepherd, not my headsman. He doesn't carry me about to disturb people's farm. He's a shepherd, and I will not want. Because he's a shepherd. A shepherd does not carry his sheep up and down. A shepherd will put them somewhere, and he will go and look for grasses to feed them. So if he's my shepherd, I will not want. I will not want. You see, that's how to meditate. You're talking that way. He makes me to walk. He leads me beside the still waters, not troubled waters. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Not troubled waters. He restores my soul. Oh, and he makes me to lie down in green pasture. I'm not looking for, I'm not hustling. Ah, God, the hustle. Our life, God, with the push. No, he's not making me push anything. Have you ever caught a rat in your kitchen? You don't eat belefu. Have you ever caught a rat like that? Is the rat has eaten so well, and then he now lie down like this inside the food. When he makes you lie down in green pasture, that means he's not, you are not hustling anymore. Green pasture is everywhere. You just lie down there, Jakarta, like food plenty. Oh, shout amen, somebody. Be a confessor of God's word. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, a man's belly shall be filled with the fruit of his lips. You have what you say. Listen, you are a product. You are the product of what you've been saying for many years. Don't stop talking. Keep saying it. The Bible says, so mightily grew the word of God in Ephesus, and it prevailed. You can talk God's word so much until it reaches a crescendo where you can literally slide it with knife. You can hold on to the word. You can keep saying it. Keep saying it. I'm alive to God. I'm born again. I'm full of life. My body is a temple of God. My cells, my tissue, they are of God. I walk in prosperity. I refuse to be broke. I know what to do, how to do, when to do, where to do, and with whom to do what to do. I cannot be confused. I walk in the light of God. As I go out today, I know what to do. The Spirit of God is leading me. In the name of Jesus, in my pathway is life. There is no death. In the name of Jesus, he keeps me in the time of famine. He feeds me on every side. Oh, I'm blessed. I'm anointed. You talk that way. You charge up that way going out. You speak. Doctors in the Dream calls it commanding your money. I love that woman. You command your money that way. You wake up in the morning. You speak to the air. You talk that way. As I go out today, angels are working for me. Do you know who you are? You are a speaking spirit. You talk things into being. Don't stop talking. So you acknowledge the word. You believe the word. Then you keep talking. You keep talking. You confess. Because you see, you speak out of believing. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I have believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and what? Therefore speak. You speak. Oh, I wish I had enough time today to talk to you about this. Dr. Masaru Emoto, a Japanese scientist, did an experiment. He took 3 jars of water. He named one bad, he named one good. Then he left one empty. He was speaking bad to the one neighbored bad. After some days, that one, when they drew these crystals, the water went bad. The one he was speaking good things to, the water was just good. They did the same experiment on rice. They did the same experiment on plants. Under the same condition, the one he was speaking bad words to, the plant died. The power of words. And why is that experiment interesting to me? 2002, the science, global science body accepted that postulation because they tried it everywhere and it is the same. So science is trying to catch up with what God's word says. Guess what? Your body is 70% water. That means you can talk to your health. You are 70% water. Think about it. You know, I don't like giving you science things, but as a science enthusiast, I can't do it with sometimes. Just to let you know that, listen, be a talking Christian. Say all this, yeah, I don't like to talk. You? Who is your papa? God? And you saw him in Genesis. The first thing we knew about God in Genesis was what he was talking. And God said, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. In verse 31, the Bible says, and God saw. He saw all he has been saying. Everything you keep saying, you will have it. Amen. Jesus, in the book of Mark 11, 23, he says, if you will say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and you will not doubt in your heart, you will have what you say. You will have what you say. I've been saying it, I'm going to preach to the whole world. At the basement of this ministry, we're going to have 25,000 capacity minimum. I'm going to talk. I'm not moved by what I see. Then the last one, do the word. A, B, C, D, right? Do the word. Do the word. Be a doer, not just hearers alone. Do the word. Do the word. Be a doer. Be a doer. Glory to God. I need to close now. Were you blessed? Rise on your feet, everybody. I want to lead you in a confession.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.